One other person who worked very closely with Wilbur not when Wilbur was young, but when this person was very young, was Ted Marmer, who was kind of an intern right in Wilbur's office, and was very close to him all during the Medicare issues. And I think he got a book out of it, as I remember, from being following the whole Medicare activity from Wilbur Cohen's office. Wilbur was always very open with all the materials and all the issues and all the background of everything that was going on. He would really have been a great professional historian, and he had great respect for the recording of history. So Ted, would you say something?
Years ago, I was a sort of odd summer assistant to Wilbur Cohen in HEW, as Bob said. And last year, I had the occasion to write an article about both his and Bob Bowles' career. Now, this last task had me review much of what you've been hearing today, that long and distinguished and extraordinary career of a good and a very influential man in American social policy. But as I was thinking, when I was thinking of Eloise and the Cohens and the friends and admirers, as I was thinking what I wanted to emphasize, it wasn't that. Others have done that much better than I might be able to do. It's something else, and that is touched on by Bob Bowles' reference to openness. And that's the question of what sort of person Wilbur was to work closely with, to be close to see in the private moments. And something just a little bit has been missing so far, I thought, and that's what I thought I'd try to share. And the quality I have in mind, or the qualities, are twofold. One is the personal kindliness and kindness that was built into the way he lived his life. There's some humor attached to that, it won't be all serious. But also, the impishness of the man. A little bit has been missing. Now, let me tell you three stories that I think will illustrate these qualities. I had a very hard time getting an interview with Wilbur Cohen in the spring of 1966. I wanted to write a book about the politics of Medicare. He wanted to start Medicare. His job was more important, but my enthusiasm and earnestness was at least not inconsiderable. But I finally got some help from a professor of mine, Richard Neustadt, who arranged this interview. And Wilbur said to Neustadt, have this young man send on his draft and come see me on Friday afternoon at 3 o'clock. I walked in the door. He handed me back my draft and said, I've scribbled on every single page here. Now put it away, young man. And he started marching me around the table, the large office in that old, wonderful North Building. And he introduced me to all the people in the pictures and said, how would you like to work as my assistant this summer? He looked to the files and he said, they're all yours. You can have access to any of them. Just help me with Medicare. And I, political science graduate student that I was foolish enough to say endlessly, well, Mr. Cohen, I'd like to work for you, but I mean, where would I work? You know, I was used to this concern about proximity and power. And he said, well, you work for me, in an open, generous, and kindly way. And I said, no, Mr. Cohen, I insisted. I persisted for about 2 or 3 minutes in trying to pin down exactly where my office was going to be. Finally, I said, Mr. Cohen, I understand this is a marvelous offer and it's a wonderful thing and, gee, it's awfully good, but could we settle it? He said, he looked, pointed to the couch and he said, you can sleep here if you'd like. Well, that was introduction number one. That was on Friday. He said, well, when can you start? And I said, as soon as you like. He said, how about Monday? And I said, no, I can't do that because I'm getting my degree, but Wednesday is possible. I came on Wednesday and he was kind enough to pick me up on the way to work, and I drove in one of these cars, and he took me to the first staff meeting. Nobody knew who I was. Bob Ball was there, and a lot of other people, many of them here, people I'd read about, I knew by reputation. And Wilbur walked into the room without saying anything. He got up, and he said, this is Ted Marmor. He's a fresh Ph.D. I'm going to the White House. He'll speak for me on Medicare. Well, let me tell you, that was the longest meeting of complete and utter silence by me for a long time. And I asked him later, what did he have in mind? He said, oh, he thought he'd just be a little bit surprising. And the third story, and the last one, is really the one that I think back about the most. And the one that in the time since that sad news from Seoul, Korea, that I've really reflected on with the bittersweet mix of loving affection and laughter, too. There had been a miserable occasion in the first summer of Medicare involving the nursing home operators and a speech that I'd had a little bit to do with, and there had been hissing and booing, and Wilbur had just stood up to it and said, "We've got a program to administer, folks, and it's not important that you should become friendly to me, it's that you should become friendly to the program." And I was so struck by that, and I shared with him in the ride back that we'd had some trouble. We'd rented a house in Northwest Washington, and there were always people outside observing us. The person we'd rented the house from had a kind of complicated career in the late 40s and 50s in the left wing of American politics, and we saw all sorts of people with electronic gear, and I was really quite worried. I had a wife and a little daughter, and this is not part of the world I'd grown up with, but I knew Wilbur. That's why I asked him what to do, and he said, "Look, let me come home with you. Let me take a look and see what I think of this observation." So we drove in, he looked in, there that another car was, a Chevrolet, as I recall. And then we stopped the car, got out, walked to the front door, and he rapped on the door, and my little five-year-old opened the door. She didn't have a stitch of clothes on. Not a stitch. But in the way of a five-year-old, and this is what's so clear, she said, "Hello, come in, please come to my bedroom." Well, to my amazement, Wilbur took her hand and went right off to the bedroom. And he turned back and he said, "Ted, you don't have the problem properly defined. It's not surveillance, it's precociousness that you have to worry about." That's the way I remember Wilbur, and I really am very grateful for a chance to connect with that Wilbur on an occasion like this. It was both serious and, as someone said at the outset, a celebration of a life, and I think a celebration of a life of just extraordinary humanity. Thank you very much.